Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Hey everybody, and welcome to an exciting episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. My name, as always, is Kyle Rosenthal, and we're joined by not only our usual suspects of Brian and our sound guy, James. James is in the room. We've also got a whole bunch of other folk. A little bit of housekeeping first before we do all of our regular introductions. We are coming at you live, well, we're recording it live, from a super secret location at the Washington State Trade and Convention Center, level 6, and sponsored by, sponsoring, of course, as always, by Learn on Demand Systems. If you want to be able to reach us through... You'll understand why I'm laughing in a moment, because I'll explain what's going on. The we're going to be getting our so you can get us on Twitter using at TuesdayTTT, or alternatively you can also subscribe to the podcast by going to trainertechtalk.net, and we've got a number of the new episodes have been put up there, including our Trainer Talking Tech what do we call them? Trainer Talking Tech TTTs.
Yes.
For the 40409 course, as well as the 20347 course. So make sure you do subscribe for any of the other any of our new podcasts that are coming through. And as I've been doing the introduction, the reason I've been laughing is because someone sitting across from me has been counting how many times I've said ah or and he's just counted another two when I've said we're talking about ahs and ums. So, Wayne.
Kyle.
Introduce yourself.
Wayne McGlynn. If you want to get hold of me on Twitter, it's at Wayne McGlynn. That's Wayne, MCGLI for India, double N for November. And I'm a long time trainer. And I'm here at the bequest of Learn on Demand Systems, of course, our fantastic and great sponsors.
But that's not what you call them.
LODS. You've got to love LODS, mate.
It's, you do have to love LODS.
Sort of sounds like something you would gargle to.
All you need is LODS.
All you need is LODS. All together now.
So we're going to edit that out, right?
No.
No editing. So we'll go around the table.
Mike Corkery, also a Microsoft trainer from the Boston area. And if you want to capture me on Twitter, you can't, because I hate Twitter.
You don't tweet.
I don't tweet. Don't ask me.
Would you like to give your Facebook profile instead? If you
LinkedIn.
Like
to
no.
Social security number?
Instagram.
Credit card number?
No.
Blog address?
Snapchat?
A solid 9.
Out of what?
Old copy serve address?
AOL.
Jeez. And...
So Ed Lieberman, another MCT in the Chicago area. I'm just making their fingers go crazy right now. And if you want to reach me on Twitter, I also hate Twitter, but I do have a Twitter handle. So it's
you just had to look up,
which I just had to look. Well, I had to confirm because I just changed it recently. We were going for Lil Ed. Because Lil is actually LinkedIn Learning. So L-I-L. I couldn't get Lil Ed. I couldn't even get Lil underscore Ed. So it's Lil underscore Ed L. So that is my Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook. And this is a little weird, but you'll find me at Train Signal Ed. Because on Facebook, I think three companies ago, but... You have to, Facebook's a pain in the ass. Can I say ass?
Ed has now surpassed Kyle in ums and ahs.
Okay.
Excellent.
You sure?
By the time they get to me, it will be time to say goodnight. So can you stop now, Ed?
Hi, this is James. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Wrong show.
Sorry, James. I'm still at JFinleyNZ on the Twitter.
And I would be Neil McIsaac from East Coast Canada. Never turned right that way. Woohoo! Go Leafs! And you can reach me on Twitter at Neil McIsaac. It's NEILMCISAAC.
Glenn Morris, trainer out of the Gold Coast, Australia. I am on the Twitters at Glenn RM. GLENNRM.
Okay.
So we did introductions in record time.
Really? Oh, we can do them again.
Yeah, let's go around one more time. All right, so I have some questions to start off.
42.
Yes.
That's going to be the answer.
Sometimes.
Yes. No, that doesn't have to be the answer, because that answer doesn't fit with the question.
42 always fits.
And you didn't start in the form of the question.
Patsy's playing Jeopardy.
How do we get you on Twitter, Brian?
Well, usually our listener knows how to reach me and Kyle on Twitter.
Our listener.
Oh. Speaking of our listener, hi, Brian's mom.
Hi, Brian. I'm at Brian Borg, LODS.
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 And Kyle is?
At Windows PC Guy.
There we go. Housekeeping complete. War of the PCs. Mac versus PC. Is that still a thing? Is the war over and done? Is it still relevant? Glenn, your thoughts?
I pretty much think it's over and done. My concern is goes beyond the war on PCs or the war of PCs, and it goes to the fact that I'm one of those people who's starting to feel like Windows is redundant or becoming redundant. And I say that because we have a situation here in the United States, I think, where they issue Chromebooks to school kids, and it's something they're starting to do in Australia. My kids, other than seeing me work on a Windows machine, never see Windows devices.
Okay.
And so I think it stops being about Windows versus Mac or something like that, and becomes more about, is it a case of, it's not Windows versus Mac, it's just a case of kids, the coming generation coming through. For us, it's going to be Windows versus Mac, but for the generation coming through, Windows is going to be what Mac was 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Something that somebody just uses.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a case of war of the PCs versus war of Mac versus PC. I think it's more a case of, is Windows going to be relevant in a decade's time?
I think it's not even just Windows. I just think, are operating systems going to matter in that time? As more and more as phones have proven, it's not really about the OS. It's about the apps. As more and more things are cloud-based and you can get it, other than for developers who have to deal with some of those things, end users don't really care. They switch from their iPhones to their Androids, in theory, if anyone still had a Windows phone. They don't really care as long as the things they want to do are on it. The OS doesn't really matter.
But then when you say they don't really have a Windows phone, it starts to kind of make my case that really, in the phone tablet world, you've only really got two choices. And then if we extend that to, I guess, PCs, who's really going to be using a PC of sorts a decade from now with a Windows operating system on it?
And I think part of that is, in that question, what kind of apps really run on the PC? And we're seeing high-end graphic stuff, like you're seeing the Adobe suites and things like that, where Macs still really have a good market. But the general PC, if you're doing document editing, the other apps are going to be, you know, like things like Facebook and stuff like that. They're lightweight apps. And so a lot of that, do we need a PC for that? We need it for the real estate of the screen, and that's about it. Keyboard screen, it can be dumb as a post. For the most part.
And that's where things like Continuum for the Windows phone, and there's an equivalent for the Android?
For Samsung.
For Samsung there is. For the iPhone, is there anything
No.
You can throw to an iTV or an Apple TV device, which is what they use in the schools now. So from an Apple phone or an iPad to the Apple TV device and comes up on the big screen.
That's more of a projection though. So that's not like Continuum and the Samsung one, which is
Good point. That's more for desktop.
Yeah, you're thinking more of like a Chromecast sort of solution or
True. Okay, no. That's the wrong way I was thinking of it. Yeah, it's more like the Continuum or the Samsung. HP had one too. HP Elite has got one as well.
Yeah.
Where you dock your phone into a full screen keyboard and mouse, and you've got everything apps, because everybody is simply using apps, everything's on the screen that you need.
Now,
it's processing power. I don't think they need as much anymore because more is starting to move to the cloud and that type of thing.
I do want to get more input on this, but I do want to say that you guys have literally, not figuratively, literally destroyed my second question, which was, is Windows going to be relevant? So thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Thank you and good night.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, to go back to the original question, who thinks that there's still a Mac versus PC war?
I think that Intel and AMD are interested in keeping a war going with Macintosh.
Well, that was the big thing. Back in the day, Mac had their own chipset, their own operating system. Now a Mac is an Intel chipset
running
a Unix operating system with a Mac GUI on top of it.
Right.
So the two are getting closer to each other.
Okay, but you still don't run Mac OS on a PC. I know that's what you think a Mac is.
But I don't think it's PC versus Mac.
As much as it is
Windows versus
Mac. Right.
Or Windows versus...
And I think Apple is very keen to keep this debate or this argument or this war going as well.
The rivalry,
very good. Hmm. Because if you see their most recent iPod commercial, which absolutely drives me crazy, with a little girl all day long, she's using her iPod, and at the end of the commercial, they say, their mom or her babysitter or whatever says, what are you doing on your PC? And she says, what's a PC? Because she was working on an iPod. iPad.
Well, the other thing I hate about that particular ad is I thought it was a boy.
That's a completely different discussion.
But I think it's also embracing this kind of, what's the word?
Gender neutrality.
And all that kind of thing.
Hmm.
Okay, I didn't think we were going to be going there with discussion.
She kind of looks like a boy, but is wearing nail polish. Sounds like a boy when she says thanks, I think, at the store where she's buying something.
Hey, Glenn.
You said that commercial gets your goat for a reason.
But are you trying to equate that to them intentionally doing that? Not just to focus on the world and gender neutrality, but more equating the whole idea of, just like we don't explicitly say boy, girl, we don't explicitly say PC or Mac.
But there's a big difference between an iPad and a PC, in my opinion.
Well, of course.
It depends what you want to do with it, though.
When you look at lightweight apps, a consumer device. Yeah, if you look at the majority of consumer-focused apps, they're lightweight apps. It's an interface to web services, et cetera, and Facebook app, et cetera. They run on iPads fine. It's a waste on a PC for the amount of compute power that's sitting in front of you and then just using basically a browser-based app. And so it makes sense to me that Apple would be really still pushing that contention, get away from that with all their products. Because to them, it's still that war still exists. Now, from a consumer's perspective, it doesn't really matter. Nowadays, all they care about is will it run these apps, period. Right? They don't care. And until you get into the like some very specific apps, like graphic stuff. Like if you're doing movie editing, for example, then you need the hardware to do it. And then does it really matter? Well, most people are going to buy very dedicated machines for that anyway. So So I think like the laptop, aside from having the functionality of screen, nice keyboard, having all day battery life, that's what consumers focus on now. So all the apps in there, you really don't need a PC or Mac, you know, for the most part, for what most consumers do, I think.
And what do you, Brian, consider a Chromebook to be?
Androgynous. Right, since Glenn went down that rabbit hole, I figured we can keep going down that.
No, you're
right. No, but actually, what I would really... So this will work very well on a podcast. Raise your hand if you actually own a Mac.
He's a functioning Mac. He's referring to the listeners right now. Raise your hand.
And anybody at this table. All right. How many of you have a tablet, Windows or Android?
And use it? Or something more than a big boy?
Would you not have it if you didn't use it? All right. So who has a Macintosh-based or an Apple-based?
An iOS-based
tablet. Okay, so the results of my conducted research here is that virtually no one at this table owns any Apple devices, and certainly no one of any matter, because Kyle is the only one who raised his hand, and that was for an iPad, right?
So what? I have both iPad, plus I've got a Samsung device.
Right.
Now, the other question is a follow-up to that, though. Because most people said that they had a tablet device, which I'm assuming most of those would be Samsung device or Android based devices.
Is that true?
Surface.
Well, and I think it's, you asked about PC versus Mac.
Yep.
I think we are in a world of Android versus iOS. So where I think we're at.
So my question though is that because everyone said everyone at this table has a Windows device. And most people have a tablet device, and of course, some have a tablet device which is a Windows device. But for those that have a tablet device which is the majority would be Android, then do you use it for consumption, or do you use it as a daily, I'm going to actually get some work done?
Paperweight.
Mine's
my media center.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
When I had one, it was just toy.
Yeah.
No real work.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, my college-age children, they both use their tablets. They do everything on their tablets. Their entire livelihoods at school as a college student.
Which was my point right at the beginning.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So they will come out of college with their tablets and continue to use their tablets.
Mm-hmm. Because everything is
consumable. Potentially never see a Windows operating system in their lives.
Except for that their tablets are Surfaces, but yes.
Yeah, my kids both have Samsung devices. They get issued with iOS devices at school.
Oh, sorry.
But that's the way of the world.
I'm saying sorry because Lorraine is a teacher. My wife is a teacher. And she was teaching year two last year. And they were giving iPads to year two, and Lorraine refused to have them in her class because year two was simply too young to learn from a device where all the kids have to do is stab at the buttons until the green light comes up and then they go to the next one. That's how they were learning.
Isn't that how you trained a lot of your
monkeys? Yes, yeah. That's exactly how we train the monkeys. You press the right button, you get a banana. So, but it's not a learning experience at that age. When they're older, like Glenn's kids, then yes, but
That's a decision.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
that's a decision that you can make. That the conversation is really about the fact that kids are being issued iOS devices, Android devices, going through their entire schooling, never having seen a Windows device, and potentially that becomes their future.
So, but the thing, I don't think it matters. It matters us, because when I think of like the historic Apple Mac PC kind of thing, I see it just like from the story from a training perspective. When I started doing training, we used to have to run like Adobe, we're talking about the photo editing stuff. We'd have to run a class for Adobe on Windows and a class for Adobe on Macs because
they never worked the same.
No, and they were different and you couldn't, you know. And now doesn't matter. We run Adobe classes. We've got all PCs in our training center, and no one cares. Even though they're using Macs, they said, fine, we don't care. Just we want the training on the app. They figured out the code base is now similar enough. The GUI is enough. Yes, we've got a, you know, we've got Gustav, the stinking Mac user, you know, showing up on for whatever that is.
Sorry, Gustav.
But they don't care. That's not the oh, and then the underpinning OS doesn't matter anymore. But whatever then, it is, it won't have to be good for Windows, but it's not going to mean the death of it either, because there might be things about Windows, say from a management, there's still corporate and enterprises, for a while at least, still are going to want some things that maybe are lacking some of those things. So here is your corporate issued whatever it is, and it may still have Windows. I don't think people will care. Oh, I only use...
No, but the decade coming through, I mean, the generation coming through, I think Windows becomes redundant. If I go back 15 years ago, if you were an executive in a company, you were probably issued with a Windows laptop.
Yeah.
If you're an executive in a company now, you probably carry an iPad or some sort of Samsung device.
And so
if our kids, if that's the executives currently,
yeah,
and then the next generation coming behind them are now filling that gap of people who still have Windows devices, then essentially they disappear. Unless, and I know Microsoft has brought out a $199 Chromebook type device that they are marketing here in the US, and hopefully it will come into the Australian market and stuff like that.
So I'd agree with you that the PC is kind of losing ground overall, but I don't think it's so much a Windows versus Mac issue as a lightweight device pushing out PCs in general. Right, not Windows PCs, but any PC.
And I think that's kind of what you're saying.
And it's one of the things, I guess, to maybe make note of is how many kids are coming up with that know an iPad, but actually don't know how to use a Mac because the OSs are slightly different between, right?
That I can't answer because I don't care about that.
Continuing from what James was saying is that I think we're getting to a point where it's becoming less and less important what it's actually running on. So the OS itself, the OS itself becomes less important, because if you look at the apps, like say I remember a couple of years ago I had my first Android device that I had, and I was running the Office on that. But it was, what I didn't realize when I bought the device was that the version of Android that was on there would only run the mobile type versions of the applications. So running Word on that, running Excel on that was just painful. Whereas I look now at some of the Android devices, and if I run up, say for instance, those Office applications, they are much more on parity for when you go across platform. So I think that what the OS is, obviously we're kind of in a biased, like, you know, the IT pro folk that are in the room, we're in a more biased sort of situation where we're, you know, we are, like, most of what we do is based off Windows, and, you know, we train people on how to do Windows, so we're biased from that view. But if we take that one abstract layer out, if the OS doesn't matter, then it's the service that lives across that, and it's the, if the OSs have got if the apps have got parity across that, then who cares what it's running on? It's the next step up that you need to worry about. And, you know, if you go to even the online versions of applications now, so if you, like, and again using Office as the example, if you go to Office Online, so using the free versions that are available as the web-based applications, they're pretty full-featured. Like, obviously there are things you can't do, like, you know, and using Excel as an example, there are things you can't do. There's macros you can't run, etc.
Yeah.
But who cares?
CES show that just went by, one of the more exciting products was the Razer Phone laptop.
Yes.
Yep.
And it was drop your phone in, and basically it's a keyboard screen extension to your phone. So who cares? Like, people want the physics of a good device. They don't care about the software.
The physics is really important.
Yeah.
So this actually, the discussion went exactly where I was hoping it would go, because Kyle brings up the point, is IT Pro dead now? because of what we've all just said about the next generation.
I'm still alive. It's just a flesh wound.
It's just a flesh wound.
So,
but before you
the IT
there,
pro
you
is alive as DOS.
Before you go there, do you think we would ever be able to spin up a VM running a Mac operating system in Azure? In the near future.
But will it matter?
In the future.
Will that matter?
Yeah.
So my question are we hearing the death toll of IT Pro? We are already moving out of what IT Pro was and moving into DevOps, which I still say is a completely separate field. But because OSs are becoming less necessary, and we've all kind of addressed that with our various voices here, is it going to matter? Are we going to need to start becoming application streamers?
Well, I think there's a thing maybe that I kind of disagree just a little bit with what you said. I don't know that OSs are less necessary. It's just they're not the differentiating factor anymore. At this point in time, unless there becomes a fundamental shift in architectures and other things, we still need an OS. It just doesn't particularly matter whether it's this one, or this one. We still need it. We still need those types of things. And those things will still need management.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will they?
Yeah.
For the time being,
yeah.
Yes.
I would suggest there's a different focus on management, because what IT pros are seeing a lot more of now is more managing cloud-based services rather than hardware. Right? There's very little of the next to hardware solutions out there. They still exist, obviously, but the transition is really cloud-based. You know, does somebody need to know networking and be able to manage it? Absolutely. Like, all the concepts are there. All the I need these servers and all that. They're virtual. It's a virtual network. It's a virtual machine. It's a virtual. But the IT pro role is still there. But there's definitely a huge shift from not sitting in a data center versus, planning something out in like Visio and then making it all happen virtually somewhere. But it's all the same concepts. And there is definitely, I agree with the distinction that the DevOps is very separate.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an IT pro and your role was Hyper-V administrator,
mm-hmm.
then potentially, no, you don't have a job anymore.
Exchange admin.
But,
yeah.
Okay, now,
but
let's talk
like
about
that.
So,
yeah.
Is the Exchange admin truly moving to the cloud? I know everybody says they are.
No, it's already moved.
It's already moved.
It's already moved.
So
you missed the boat.
There will be pockets of people.
There's always going to be.
You mean my Exchange 5.5 certification is no longer valid?
Yeah, but
no.
So here's the thing. If you're an Exchange admin, though, you used to be very focused, how many servers do I need to do all this stuff? Now you're much more focused on, how do I configure the service to filter email properly and all that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's much more getting the job done, rather than kicking servers to have green lights.
Thank you,
on.
Michael. I'm so glad that we have you here too.
I think that's a continuing trend that we're going to see from an IT pro perspective. Is there will still be a call for an IT pro. There'll still be a requirement for someone to
Except
be able
for
to.
SharePoint.
People,
hey, wait now.
You can't disconnect me.
I'm in.
I am in control. Stop.
there's always going to be a call for an IT pro person, because anytime there are servers, services, anything that needs to be managed, then yes, that'll be there. What will potentially go away from a more integral part of what might be now IT Pro is doing the day-to-day sort of desktop management, as an example, the day-to-day user management. Like user initiation, that's a thing, yes. But the user management, like the password resets, all that sort of that thing that was the day, the help desk and that sort of thing, goes away. But regardless of where the servers are going to be, whether they're living on prem or whether they are migrating to either servers that live in VMs in Azure or AWS, or services, there's still going to be a level of management that's required around that.
You could also add to that. I mean, Brian, I'll ask you, if there's no more IT pro, who's managing the cloud? The servers
that
and the VMs do exist somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
The cloud is just somebody else's.
Meaning, Kyle, you're representing individual companies that still need to have somebody to manage the services. I'll take it a step further and say, okay, company ABC, they're all having their servers out in the cloud somewhere with Azure, AWS, whatever. Well, who's managing those data centers that have all those servers for all those companies?
I would counter that with that's far less
people
that would be doing it.
In the world, yes.
So, you know, if you take all the servers that are currently living, you know, like on-prem somewhere, and you collapse those back into a data center, AWS, Azure, or whatever, you're then by far reducing the number of people. So you basically say, yes, there is no more.
I didn't say there were a lot of them.
There's four people that are doing it.
Okay, there you go. So, Brian, there are four IT pros left in the world.
Excellent, and we can all make money training those.
That is wrong, because
yep,
the IBM president said he'd never see a need for more than five computers in the entire world. So
that's true.
Four IT pros looking after five computers.
And the vice president of the United States.
Well, actually, looking after computers, that's the other thing. We still, even like for end users in these corporate environments, we're not building that way of IT proness of, okay, I've got to build an image, that stuff. That's going away for many companies, already gone, because now it's bring your own device or purchase your own device. And okay, just get it, comes pre-installed with whatever operating system you want. And that's where things like Intune, because it's about the apps, the services, the controls that we do have to make sure it behaves the way my corporate policies and things needed to behave. It's policy driven, so we still need some people to manage those bits and pieces, not build boxes necessarily. But
I think a lot of people, when you start looking at the shift to the cloud, going, it's the death of the IT pro. If you go back 10 years ago, the shift was moving over to virtual machines, and so we saw the birth of VMware admins, Hyper-V admins, and all that. Did the IT pro job go away? No. But there was less people that were focused on the hardware, right? It's like they were just standing up just blank hosts that were VMware, you know, machine servers or, you know, Hyper-V servers. They still needed X amount of servers virtualized now, you know, so the job's different. Do we have the same need now because we can get more work out of one person because they don't have to stand up hardware and, you know, plug in mice and stuff like whatever. You know, running cabling through a data center as much, but the job of that VMware administrator or Hyper-V administrator, they're just doing the same thing in the cloud now, right? So,
and we don't necessarily have to build as many images to do it to run on our Hyper-V. Why? Because in all those platforms, well, here's our marketplace. Oh, pick whatever OS flavor I need to start my thing, whatever it is. Great.
And sitting at their desk, they can turn around and roll out a dozen servers with a mouse clicks. Yeah. Versus trying to roll out real hardware in their own data center.
But that starts to touch onto the DevOps piece, because most of that is going to be scripted and templated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the changing IT pro.
So I'll throw in there, the OS was a DevOps piece, because the developers made the OS.
Okay, so I've been very, very serious. So now,
shit, we're in trouble.
We're going to go around the table and talk about gizmos. Because Kyle,
Gremlins?
You have a new gizmo, a new favorite gizmo.
He's going to get to talk about all the great gizmos. He has them all.
Well, he's only got one that he's really keen on at the moment.
Yeah, I think Kyle was last.
All right, we'll Kyle go last. Glenn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It's like it's Christmas.
Enough, this is why I know Kyle. Because
you don't ever buy gizmos.
I'm not into gizmos, and that's why I don't even have the Facebook. I'm barely on the Twitters.
Oh, I've seen you strutting your stuff on the Twitters.
I've seen you occasionally searching the Google.
The Google. Not the Bing.
I have used the Google, but I'm more of a...
This is why your children don't understand operating systems.
Yeah.
I have searched Google, sir. You are no Google searcher.
I'm more of a DuckDuckGo kind of guy.
Wow.
Or Dogpile.
Dogpile.
All right, so we're going to slip over.
We might as well go to someone else. I think I recently...
Oh, come on.
I recently bought the Ring system, so that I can see who's coming to visit me.
Huh? Like a doorbell?
Yeah.
Did you get
the
doorbell?
So
he's only just got a front door.
Does it automatically have facial recognition? So
it's
say
got a sensor.
I walked up,
no, it's
then
got a
it
sensor.
Would lock the door.
Oh, no. It doesn't have that. It's got a sensor, and it will vibrate on your phone, and you can have a look as they come up the path.
That's why he wanted it.
Oh, no.
Good. Walk up my path some more.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Now, walk you've up been slower, a Globetrotter since you've retired.
Who was appointing to?
You.
Yeah. For the benefit of our podcast listener, Brian just pointed at me. Yes, I've been a Globetrotter, and the only real gizmo that I absolutely love to death, and I'd recommend everybody gets one, whoever goes outside of their own country, is what I talked about on a previous podcast.
You have are you still...
The Skyroam. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Skyroam. Wireless Wi-Fi device that's got a virtual SIM card in it that no matter what country you go into, except Dubai, as I found out, it'll pick up whoever the carrier is, and you've got up to 5 devices connecting to the interwebs. So I can use the Google and the Facebook.
You've still got the original one, haven't you?
I've still got the original. There's a new one out called the Solus, which is slightly bigger, and it's slightly bigger because it's also got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery in it, so you can charge your devices off it, as well as using it for the Wi-Fi.
So, there's something else that Wayne, gesturing and saying his name.
Good.
I've been seeing you with an e-reader.
Yes.
Now, is that a favored device?
That is how old? 10 years old.
And what kind of device is that?
That's a Sony e-book reader that is running some cut-down Nix distro on it, I would imagine, because I haven't really looked at what the operating system is. It's actually... cannot buy it. It's not available anymore. I had to recently buy a new cover for it, and had to actually go to Canada to get a cover for my Sony e-book reader.
Go Canada!
Yo! Go Leafs!
Hey!
Yeah, go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs!
Hey! Hey!
Go someplace I can order my obscure parts.
Yeah. You might come covered in maple syrup, but you'll get it.
And the latest thing I've discovered since I've been retired is Kindle Unlimited, where you pay $14 a month and you can read as many books as you like on...
Has that become a big deal for you?
Oh yeah, for me it has, because I've had much more time to read.
Windows had a reading
to be
tried. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. When is this news that Wayne could read?
Is this a new thing?
They are comics.
I'm just
pictures.
Oh, he's reading graphic novels.
Very graphic.
You're reading the Little Miss series, don't lie.
Have you subscribed to the Kindle Reader Unlimited in Australia? Or
yes, in Australia. Okay. I actually did it. I looked at Kindle Unlimited and tried it on... I had a look at it on Amazon, US, and then realized, well, that's a bit stupid, because every time I want to buy something on Kindle, the bank then charges me because it's an overseas purchase.
Right.
All right, pull back to the amazon.com.au, and it was the same price except in Aussie dollars.
Oh.
So it's actually cheaper.
The reason I ask is because I think it's actually a slightly different range of books.
No. Everything that I...
Thinking the Australian ones are simpler, or...?
Small words.
The pictures.
It's printed upside down for us.
The pictures are in black and white, not colour, and they're upside down. Yeah.
And they really count clockwise.
I found that I can actually... It's going to sound like piracy, isn't it? I found I can actually read the Amazon Kindle books on my Sony e-book reader, because the application I use, Calibre, converts them to EPUB.
That does sound a lot like piracy, yes.
It does, man. Yes, well, you admitted it on a podcast.
I'm
well listened to.
That's Wayne McGlynn, 95872.
I'm paying a monthly...
Brian's mom, call the FCC.
Wayne's going to hold us hostage here in this room.
But I'm paying Amazon to read those books.
So Wayne, as a gizmo, has introduced us to something from 2004.
I am a big... proponent of ebooks and ebook readers, but unfortunately, I don't like Kindle. I like the Barnes & Noble Nook.
Hey, you can get the Kindle app, and it doesn't matter what operating system you've got,
okay,
you can read it.
That is true. You can do that.
So if you've got a little tablet, like a Samsung tablet, or any other type of tablet, you can get the Kindle app and read them on your tablet. So that's, again, moving away from the operating system, and it's based around the application. Yeah.
Moving on to Mr. Michael Corkery.
So my latest gadget is a robot kit. Stands 18 inches tall, I don't know what that is for you non-Americans. You
do the math. That's 14 tons.
Yeah,
14 tons. Good. 22 degrees of freedom, so 22 different articulating joints. I
is
just finished.
Degree, is that 22 degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit?
That's got more articulation in his joints than you've got, mate, at your age.
This is quite true.
This coming from Wayne.
So I just finished putting it together and calibrating, and I am now programming the little beast.
To do what is it? What have you built? Like a walking dog or human?
It's a human.
A humanoid figure.
It's probably more humanoid than I am.
So 22 inches tall and it walks.
18 inches tall and 22 different articulations.
22 different servos, so 22 different wrist joints, neck, elbows, waist. And it can go from completely horizontal standing, jumping. So in Japan, they actually use fighting leagues. So they program them robotic battles.
What was that movie about the little kid with the little fighting robot?
Real Steel.
No.
You mean the one with Hugh Jackman?
Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Okay, he's trying to hijack my gadget talk with
Down
Under kind of stuff.
That's back to 2004.
with books that he read about on his unlimited Kindle.
So,
actually, that was based on a comic.
Can it be autonomous as yet? Like, are you going to wake up in the middle of the night and have it sitting beside
It can be somewhat autonomous. It can move around, can detect things. So I actually purchased the gyros and the accelerometers and some of the other sensors to go with it.
Okay. Wow.
And you can actually replace their board. I just saw an article online. They replaced it with a Raspberry Pi and got more autonomy out of it.
What was the kit brand?
Kondo.
Kondo. Okay.
Okay.
It's about $2,000 US kit.
Yeah. Okay.
Very well engineered in terms of parts. And all the servos are metal gears. The instructions, as you would expect, the English instructions are not quite English, but you can make do generally.
You can use your translator.
There you go. that sounds really interesting.
Okay. And I also know for a fact that you also have another kind of robot in your life, or at least parts of a robot.
We're not talking.
No. That's a different podcast.
I just watched Mike's eyes like bulbs.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, apparently he doesn't.
You're putting together another robot.
Oh, I am putting together what I affectionately call the Squirrel Assault Vehicle 5000. So I bought.
I already want one.
It doesn't work in.
I bought a little radio-controlled Humvee that shoots the little airsoft pellets, plastic pellets, to shoot at squirrels in my yard because my wife wouldn't let me buy a BB gun. And so, as any geek would do, I said I can make this better. So I stripped out the receiver. I replaced it with, right now it's got a Raspberry Pi motherboard. It's got three cameras, one for steering, one for turret, one for backing up under a charger. I can actually watch my TV drive this thing out from underneath the front deck and fire things on my front lawn. So the next step is remote control firing. So the goal is at one of these conferences, at one of these secret locations, we'll be shooting at things in my front yard from thousands of miles away.
I'm picturing your humanoid riding on top of the gun.
Let's go, but there's more. Oh, there's more.
So a colleague, Christine Flora, who is not with us this particular time, pointed out a website that is doing Azure Cognitive Services, so it's looking at images from coming in from the camera and detecting what that thing is and should I fire at it based on what it is. The example literally was a squirrel, so it was detecting squirrels. I will be incorporating that logic.
You don't want to shoot cute little kittens. Yeah. Because they're the same shape and size as a squirrel.
If they're in my yard, they're fair game.
Again,
squirrels, chipmunks.
You may not want to be talking about that. I will.
Squirrels, chipmunks, blue jays, occasional teenager.
I will mention, Mike, that just if you do happen to like to fire at the cats, that's okay because they don't have feelings.
Really? Really? You're going to air all of our dirty laundry.
According to Brian, they, like, yeah.
Does Brian's mum have cats?
Not Brian anymore. Has cats.
Oh, not anymore. Oh,
not anymore.
You shot them all, did you?
Yeah. So when are you going to replace the soft pellet gun with a laser? That's what I. Then I'm going to get interested.
That's a power issue. It's not a technology issue. It's power in that remote unit.
We have considered it. What Mike is saying is he has performance issues.
So, the basically it was a $40 toy that I bought. It started out at $40. Honey, don't listen to this part. It's now like $500 worth of parts into this toy. And it's spring-loaded airsoft pellets, so we actually looked into a CO2 cartridge to get more jolt out of it by using CO2 to shoot the pellets.
So what about putting a taser gun on the front, just so we can see the video? He doesn't love to see a squirrel.
Getting tasered.
That would be interesting to consider.
By the way, for the record, that is now the third robot I've heard about because you're also putting together R2-D2.
Oh, yeah. This is a kit that Brian told me about. It's a company called model-space.com that does well-engineered models on a subscription basis. So this one is a third-scale R2-D2.
Half-scale.
Half-scale R2-D2. Excuse me. And you build it over the course of 2 years. So it's very well engineered, and unlike the Condor robot kit that I built, they actually hired people that speak English to write the English instructions. So it's quite well written and quite easy to follow.
Does it complete with a chip that does a little hologram of Princess Leia?
It ejects a lightsaber, it's got a grabbing arm, it's...
And it does the whatever he does.
And it recognizes, it actually has video so it can recognize faces and stuff. So.
Squirrels?
Squirrels, perhaps.
Squirrel.
Does it have a taser? To get the laser?
It does not have a taser. So, again, a niche market that you could really get into.
Taser laser.
Laser
taser.
He's got the
little
probably laser. Get it to chase the cat around
Phasers.
The house.
Yeah.
But he's got the little humanoid. Just give it a hockey stick.
Sees a squirrel and goes, "Other robot, other robot." Get the other robot.
Give me the slow human model. I can outrun that one.
It went up the stairs.
I may have to stage between these three devices, robot wars or robot
there
races.
You go.
Who can catch the cat first?
Well,
Mr. Lieberman.
Ed has not gotten to speak much. I'm trying to give him an opportunity.
That's okay. I relinquished my gadget time to Mr. Corkery because he needed the extra time. And I put myself somewhere between taking away a little bit of my geek card, which Glenn, in the same boat as Glenn, that I kind of rely on Michael for for my gadget updates. And then with Wayne, because I've been globetrotting as well and haven't really been paying attention to much else other than traveling a lot. Closest thing to a gadget that I've paid any attention to is that stupid translator you stick in your ear that probably doesn't work. And I'll tell you by the next time because we'll actually have it. So our next international trip, I'll let you know.
You may get a sneak peek.
Yeah, it may actually see if it'll translate Wayne's Australian, but I'm not sure.
Nothing can translate Wayne's Australian.
Australians.
James is taking a picture of.
James
might like this
gizmo.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that? Stop it.
What is that?
That's probably copyright.
That's the squirrel chaser.
It's Mike's wife calling.
The fact that we can.
She
found
out about how much I spent.
She's listening. I told you never tell your wife about these things.
What did that say?
My latest gizmo, using it right this very moment, I picked up a new microphone, a Blue Yeti microphone for recording podcasts and such things.
That's not
blue right
now. It's
black.
It's not blue.
It's black. It doesn't look like
Yeti
either.
We can't say that word. It's very dark.
I would also like to say that
I believe that James
is suffering from some sort of need to compensate because His microphone is enormous.
It's big. It's standing up.
My microphone's bigger than your microphone, Brian.
Yes, yeah. Brian has microphone envy right now.
I do have microphone envy, but I am at least not.
Yeah, unlike Brian's, yours has got a cover on the head.
Actually, Brian, I think you might be.
Brian's is naked.
Okay, now see, this is
all,
why we should not allow beverages.
It's all shiny. It's all shiny.
Absolutely. Why we should allow beverages.
I'm talking about the bloody microphones.
Nobody else is, though.
Sorry, Brian's mum. Don't worry about that. You brought him up, not me. You must have dragged him up.
Does your wife not even listen?
The dog?
No, I don't have a dog.
The cat.
Okay. We'll send her this. We'll send her this little snippet about the microphones.
So you'll be able to tell, like, just what the performance is like between the two, because you're closer, like, James, you're closer to your mic.
Yeah.
And Brian's closer to Brian's mic. So, therefore, whichever one sounds better, that actually proves which one is the better mic.
Yeah, exactly.
And as well as that, James is in charge of mixing the recording.
Yeah, so everyone's going to sound better.
I'll snip him out. My other kind of newish gizmo was actually a Christmas present from my son. He got me a very nice high gain overdrive pedal for my guitars, and so I can now annoy my family in different ways.
What, you don't play your sax anymore?
From time to time, but it's sometimes after a long day, it's really nice to have volume up.
I can do
a
really
good plug.
I can do a good plug for a friend of mine who makes electronic pickups for saxes and trumpets and trombones. Steve Francis. Yeah. Piezo barrel. And look it up.
Now, Neil, as a non-repeating frequenter.
Yeah, this is my first time.
Woo! He's no longer
welcome, Neil. One of us. One of us.
I don't know what your gadget or gizmo.
I'm sure it has something to do with a duck. All right, so let's see. So the two latest gadgets that I've gotten finally flipped over to an Android phone, so the Pixel 2. But I'm not going to talk about that because
you know,
I know who's talking
might,
after
yeah.
me, right? And so. I don't want to steal from any of his very long list of gadgets, but I'd say one thing I was really happy with over the Christmas holidays is I lined the house with multicolored pot lights, like the multicolored lights. Christmas deck.
You lined your house with pot?
Yes. Yeah, with pot. Yeah.
He's allowed
to do that in Canada.
I seriously, for a second, thought he was talking about. Pot growing lights.
The little pot lights. Like we have a bunch of it along the house, but I switched them all out for the multicolored ones. So you just run around with a remote, and it's like, want to do the Christmas decorations this year? Red, green, done.
Wow,
right?
That is fancy.
And which I'm in Canada. It's to get up on a ladder in the
it's
snow.
Cold.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So
I'm honestly surprised that you haven't got an app written for it.
Well,
that you can actually
control
it from your phone.
I thought about
from Alexa.
But it's Christmas time. It's like eggnog season.
What how do you
that?
Make your eggnog
with
in
rum.
A sous vide?
It's, you know how hard it is after so many rums to sit down and try and code an app to switch colors on something?
Year.
Exactly.
So next year
should
fluctuate. Eggnog
into whiskey. You got to have some kind of tradition, right? You know, it's probably a tradition the... running of the script is not really a Christmas tradition, you know.
Well, I don't know. Running of the bowls was a thing, so
it's almost as exciting as that.
As the falling off the ladder.
So at least with the remote, you know, it's the changing of the light. Click.
You're
click,
complaining
click,
about
you know.
So
the bowls.
Neil's running down the road, and the script is executing in his house.
If you could build a robot to go and change your light colors with a laser,
actually physically. Unscrew the white ones and put the red ones in.
Yeah, but then it might mistake one of them for a squirrel and shoot it.
I'm okay with that. My wife lets me buy BB guns.
But they live in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's all right. We can't even buy a blasted BB gun.
I can't spell BB either, so.
how do you say BB-8? All right,
so,
Kyle.
I have a question for Neil.
Yes.
First, so are there like the remote control from a like you've got like a little remote control you have press buttons on, or are they actually app controlled?
These ones are just remote control. Okay. They're the cheaper one because we weren't sure if they would be bright enough and all that, so they went kind of cheap. But I'm going to upgrade them for the next year.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just do them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about gadgets. Has anybody here got one of those in-house controllers for the lights and the front door?
So I have two sets of those. Like two different ones. I have the Insteon ones, and then I have the other ones that come with Vivint. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. I've got one for the light, for some lights. We bought those intelligent bulbs.
Okay.
Can
we get intelligent bulbs in Australia?
Yeah. Yes, just not intelligent people. Just nowhere near you, though.
Oh, right.
They're all imported. As soon as they say intelligent,
that is the only
they must
time
be imported.
I have gotten to dig in on all of these Australian
that must be. They must be from a Commonwealth country like Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing
yeah,
that
we've
got
five
of us from Commonwealth countries.
I'll be straightforward. Yeah, they were made in China.
Yeah, I was going to say, is China considered a Commonwealth country now?
Because it's from Nebraska.
Shush.
He's not Australia anyway.
He is New Zealand.
He's from New Zealand.
Kiwi.
He's Nebraskan.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I have the Philips
Hue
Brass, and I can control that with Alexa, and I do very often. And I absolutely love having that home control.
I control my lights with my hand.
Well, you've got to remember back in the
old garage store.
Back in the old days, I had to wade through Shagpole carpet to get up and change the channel manually, mate.
Yeah, but at times you didn't know where the carpet finished and where the balls ended because the Shagpole.
The Shagpole.
That was just that one room.
That was
ceiling shaker.
That was just in his van.
Yes. There was mirrors on the ceiling. Because you drink champagne,
so the carpet does then match.
When I was at university. I bought my first TV when I was at university, and it was an old TV that had the buttons for the channels.
Yeah.
And I hated getting up and changing the channels, so I got a mannequin's hand.
So how close did that get?
And then I put it on the end of this broomstick. So it used to be like a mannequin's hand like that.
Oh, and then
I put it on the end of the broomstick, and I would kind of. And then if you were drinking or something,
the challenge became,
why don't we go
on
your own channel?
So was this when you were in South Africa?
Yeah.
So like you just had to flip between the two channels?
Pretty much. No, we had four.
Wait, but the TV had buttons, not a knob?
No, it had these little buttons you could push, a little panel with, it had six buttons.
Back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And four of them
I'm talking back in
the relevant
further back day.
Well, do you remember the one that you would turn it and then it would have to catch up? So you turn it like three and it would go, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
And then you had the inner circle that did the fine tune.
Yeah.
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 And the
so
vertical
sometimes
hole.
Better to
and
push
the vertical
the right
hole.
Button than what it is to manipulate the knob.
Again. We're trying to keep it clean here.
I am. I'm talking about it. Exactly what you said. You got the knob and you turn the knob around and it would catch up. But remember, inside the knob was the fine tuning bit.
Yes.
So once you got on the right channel, you then fiddle with the knob, the inside of the knob, to get it onto exactly the right channel.
This is one of those times where if
fiddle
we
with
had
your
had
knob
like this, this would have been even worse.
So you remember?
Yes,
remember the fine tuning. Yeah.
Why do you keep letting him go? Just tell him to fiddle with his knob privately.
Hey, go over the corner.
No, don't.
I'm just squeezing my ball at the moment. It's got Aurora written on it.
Yes, and it's green.
It's
so stop doing that.
Okay.
It might turn blue.
Oh, there's the Hulk.
Kyle, please take this away.
Save
from
the day.
Kyle has no gadgets or gizmos.
He's in a pile of gizmos as we speak.
He is swimming.
I actually packed really badly for this trip. This is my first trip for the year.
That's a great idea.
So
I pack badly every trip.
No.
And Margaret's going to believe this?
No, because I arrived and I didn't actually have my international plug adapter. So
that
was
that
one
can be
thing.
Changed.
I've got a charger for all my USB devices. The charger for my USB devices. I bought the wrong cable for. I've got a power board that I've got that takes international plugs, so that would be great. And I normally have a US cable for that, but I bought the wrong cable for that one. So therefore, I have the power board, but I have no way to plug it in. So therefore, I had to go invest in like in a charger, like an international adapter. So
that's your gift.
So in order to fix that, you went out and bought what exactly?
Kyle, you could have asked. You know, I always bring mine over.
Right, I have mine.
There's no other people traveling international that he knows to this event.
What did you end up buying? So I bought an adapter for my plugs.
And what else?
I also bought a new phone.
You bought a what?
So I bought a new phone. I bought a Pixel 2 XL.
Just one, just a Pixel. Just a single so Pixel.
A Pixel 2 XL, but I also got the buds.
Your buds.
So the Pixel buds that then have...
The Translate buds?
The Translate buds.
Let me have them. I want to see if they translate Wayne's Australian.
Stick them in your ears.
So two things. One is... Be careful which way you put them in.
Oh,
wait, does it translate backwards?
That's always important, Kyle.
In general.
I'm sure you've got two kids. I'm sure you learned that.
Yeah, like I was commenting on just how uncomfortable they were. It's like, this is just stupid design. and then I opened up the instructions. And then found out that I was actually putting them in reversed.
Because in order to turn them on, you're supposed to tap them on the outside.
You've got to tap them, and I'm tapping away, and it's like, this doesn't... This
the light's on.
It's charging.
It's charging. It was charging. But I decided to try...
Which way do you put them in?
Well, which way would you put them in?
Has it got an L or an R?
Well, it looks like the smaller side with the electrodes goes in, but I would want the electrodes out.
And that's exactly what I thought, but no, that's wrong.
The electrodes actually go in to your ear.
Do go into your ear.
That's so it can read your brainwaves.
So
and send that.
Is that what the problem was, Kyle? It wasn't reading your brainwaves.
So I did actually try the Translate.
Yeah.
And the Translate is amazing.
It's really?
Like, it is amazing.
But have you tried it?
He had a conversation with
someone in Danish.
Oh, I like Danish.
And I also had a conversation with
Apple
someone
Danish?
In...
Apple Danish?
Raspberry.
Raspberry Danish.
Or lemon. And,
I can't figure out put those back in.
What,
in
Afrikaans?
It was, it was pretty amazing.
You were speaking
really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an instant translator. Like having a live translator who's translating as someone speaking.
Okay.
And you can actually see it, like basically the similar to the way that the assistant does when if you're doing anything on the assistant, like you it'll show you the sentence that it's recording.
Right.
That it's detecting, and it will fill in the words. So it does have some logic in it that as you're speaking, it's going, well, this word is what I heard. But then the words that are after that make that word make no sense.
So it's actually better than Google Translate.
It is Google Translate.
The Google Translate doesn't do that very well.
Yeah, it does. Well, maybe like when I was playing around today, it did.
Okay. So it takes the whole sentence in context and works out what it should be.
So does it wait for, how does it know when to speak to you, when there's a pause?
So when there's a long pause. So similar to the way that Google Assistant will do it as well, like sort of that if you pause long enough, it goes, I don't know how to do that. And you go, well, I didn't finish saying what I was going to say. But in the context of a conversation, that doesn't really matter. The other thing that I found was that you could do, when I was first playing around with it, you were kind of doing a press, you know, I'm speaking in Danish, I'm speaking in English, that sort of thing. But if you're actually doing a more fluent conversation, there's a button which is basically just listen and try and work out whether the person is speaking in Danish or speaking English in that case. So I think you still have to set the language for the input language, and obviously the output language. But yeah, like it was spectacular.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, God, so, I would have loved to have had those with me in Paris because.
So you can't speak back to Kibner.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you speak like but so what it will do is it'll do the translation. In that case, the translation from Danish to English goes into my into the bud.
Yep.
What you say back gets put out as on the speaker on the phone.
Oh.
And so, it also puts it on the screen.
Yes. Yeah. So it, yeah. So like
because
it
trying to pronounce the Danish
so
word
you
or
can
the
literally
Afrikaans
just talk back and go like this and let them listen or see your phone.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is very
cool.
I had no idea when I mentioned mine, by the way, that's where you were going with yours.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so
that's why I was saying you might get to see him.
Okay.
So I'm still a little stuck on I forgot a cable, so I bought a phone.
I would like to say that it was advice. Box I want to be able after to do that box too. Coming out, because he also got the protector like you need.
Yeah.
We've had that discussion before. Kyle really needs that screen.
Wayne, leave it alone.
And a beautiful cloth case.
Yep.
Yeah, which reminds me very much of the kind of Surface.
Yeah.
The cases look softer than what they are, but they're really comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all really awesome, but unfortunately, the phone is still a Pixel.
So actually, the Pixel 2s are great phones.
Right.
I really like mine so far.
Yeah. I haven't really.
Squeezable.
Did you like the
good squeeze too?
But did you like the Pixel?
Bonus points.
Would you like
did you like the Pixel?
I'm not saying I would. Kyle's got a soft camera on his device.
I would love to know if someone has a Pixel and didn't like it, but does like the Pixel 2.
So I do know someone who's got both, but I haven't asked them for a comparison between the two.
Ron? Ron's got one. He's got a Pixel 2, or is that the one he dropped at the bottom of the sound on the way across in the ferry?
I don't know.
Ron and Cheryl.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You're asking me questions I don't know the answer to.
I just find that it has a lack of truly convenient feature set the way Samsung or even LG in some cases does their version of the Android OS.
Yeah.
Whereas the Pixel is going to be a raw Android OS, and it seemed like I might I can literally take a picture, I can take out my stylus, I can start doing things with it, I can edit it, I can crop it, I can do all that instantly. On the Pixel, I was not able to do that. And those are actual real-world convenient things.
Yeah.
So what have you got? You got the Note?
I have the Note 8, yeah.
And where's the stylus?
Right here. You got to rub just the right way, and then it pops out.
Just the right
way. Wow.
Oh, cool.
And I can actually take a note right now.
Yeah.
So I'm writing on my phone, since nobody can actually see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to unlock it or anything.
Yeah.
And if I stick this back in.
Ooh.
Ooh, baby. Now has saved what I just wrote.
Oh, cool.
That note it just saved as a memo. So like I said, those are kind of some cool real world that actually comes in really handy.
Sure.
I thought the Pixel, when I saw it the first time, had a lot of cool stuff, because Google does have cool stuff, but not real world. It was more like, yeah, that's a nice novelty, but I don't know that I'll ever use it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not against it forever. I just
The two big things that they introduced in the Pixel 2 over the Pixels was the squeezable phone. Right, you can squeeze it now, and the assistant is improved a lot. So if you want to take a note, it's like give it a squeeze, and it's like take a note. You just tell it whatever, which I find is really nice.
And when you say give it a squeeze, are you referring to literally just comfort in your hand, or are you referring to a functionality?
No,
so it's right on the side.
So you just squeeze the sides. Yeah, it's the. Similar to the Bixby button.
I was going to say, so I can actually squeeze mine right here, too.
If you really want to compare useless features to that squeeze. Bixby button, we've had this discussion.
Yeah, that's why you got the Bixby remapper, the Bixby key to null.
The real-world benefits, it's faster than taking a little pen to take a note. It's like you reach in your pocket and you squeeze it.
All right, so we're not going to revisit the
Wait, hold on. But I can squeeze mine. Yes, I have to hit a button as opposed to squeezing it anywhere. But I hit this button and I can now take a note as well.
Mike has that going down in his house.
See, again, I'm not trying to put down. I am trying to genuinely.
It's just interesting. You squeeze it and talk to its bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of rubbing something the right
way. Great, now I have all these memos.
Forget about Windows versus Mac. It's now Google versus Samsung.
Yeah, exactly. You know what?
Chicken butt.
What about you?
What about your gizmos?
Oh, I do gadgets all the time.
Squirrel!
Yes, squirrel.
Oh, Mike.
This is my first trip with my brand new computing power.
Did those gloves come with the
technology
phone?
With me. Using my Surface Book 2, and I'm very, very happy with it on the road as much as I was happy with it as a desktop.
That's where you bought your Surface Book 4 and
Surface Book 4?
I'm teasing.
So do you write on the screen?
Yes. That's why I have this.
Well, I know you've got the pen, but
$100 pen.
And this, for those that can't see, is what?
Nothing.
So I guess what would you say would be the biggest apps that you run that actually use any computing power on that machine?
Solitaire. Minesweeper.
Candy Crush.
I don't have Minesweeper.
Candy Crush.
I've never
they
liked
make it on Windows.
Candy Crush.
Because I'm going to assume it's going to be Outlook and Word, like kind of the office suite stuff, and that's about the toughest stuff that machine's going to see.
No, you were running Camtasia on it the other day.
I am running Camtasia on it, and I do editing.
Okay.
Yeah, I also do a bit of recording at home, but even those are not really the powerhouses. The reason that I want to have that power is not for all time use. It's for those few times when I want it and I don't have it. And part of the discussion that we had earlier tonight, we were talking about using these devices, and everybody mentioned it was sort of their tablet or their phone or whatever was sort of like their entertainment device. This is not my entertainment device. This is my work machine. I actually bring along my phone. As my phone has become my entertainment.
That's where he's playing Candy Crush.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just thinking there's a lot of horsepower. It's kind of like buying the midlife crisis sports car.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, it is like
that
a
way
McLaren
you get
or you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know something
you
very
quite
green.
Needed. But
exactly. What I was actually going to say was, I think it's time to stop wasting our listeners' time and perhaps.
To be honest, I haven't made it this far.
That's true. They gave up at about halfway after I said enough of me being serious.
I think they gave up.
Welcome,
everybody.
I will say this, Neil. Did you hear what Michael's answer was? The biggest thing on his Surface Book.
No.
Michael.
Visual Studio.
Just a little bit more than Office.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
no,
it
beats the computer up pretty good.
Yeah,
and what do you use that for?
As an IT pro, what do you use that for?
Yeah, without doing DevOps.
Yeah, because for me, I actually use a gaming machine for all my development.
Well, I do at home. I have one that's good.
Yeah, so I use like an MSI laptop. It's like a gaming laptop, and it's generally because aside from the screen. It's a 4K screen, 17-inch. The battery life is terrible, but it comes with like an M2 SSD and everything. So plus a second bay for an SSD. So speed wise, it cranks and it's faster than the Surface Books. But it's because I do Visual Studio. Right?
And how much Bitcoin have you mined?
I thought about it, especially when I'm in like a hotel using their power.
So you were saying about $12. You're saying about not wasting people's time anymore.
Cents.
Yeah. Well, so I think we will call it to a close. I'd like to thank all of our guests,
except for me,
except for Brian,
except for Brian.
Well, Brian, you're not a guest. You're
yeah,
a
but he's actually in the same room as us, which is unusual when we're normally doing the podcast.
He's
got
to do the cleaning when we leave.
Oh, right.
I did make comment to Brian that one of the worst things about being on site, at an event with Brian. Is that the most annoying thing is that I have to come up with new insults every day.
Yes.
Whereas normally there's a period of time between when we speak to be able to come up with insults.
We are more than happy to help. We've got plenty.
Perfect.
But before you sign off, I do want to go to the scorekeeper emeritus over here. Me or Kyle? Really?
You talk more.
I thought it was the other way.
So
actually.
He's got ums and ahs. You've got ums, ahs, the's. You've got a whole bunch of extras that you've added.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
congratulations.
So based
on
that last Traders Talk Tech on Tuesdays where we talked about the 37 that we calculated in 5 minutes or less, I think you have cut down your ums and ahs, but you're replacing them with other artifacts.
Only if I want to start speaking, and then somebody interrupts me. I don't know who would do that.
I don't know either.
Wouldn't have a clue.
You very, very rarely get interrupted. Not by us, anyway. What just happened?
I don't know.
Ryan's speechless.
Who has that? Enormous vibration going on, and I knew that it was going to lead to.
It was from your end of the table.
It
that's all I'm saying.
I'm I'm pretty sure it was Wayne.
So I'd like to say a very big
that was Monty Python.
to all of our guests,
except for that one.
It's just
that was
descended.
Dead on the floor.
Oh boy.
So that'll be interesting to see how that gets edited.
It won't get edited.
Actually, that sound's going to be put in throughout.
Yeah, over and over and over.
And so, as always, if you would like to reach out to us, you can certainly get to us using our Twitter handle, so @TuesdayTTT. You can also subscribe to the podcast by going to trainertechtalk.net. The vast majority of the people that are in the room here will actually be at the MCT Summit North America, which is coming up. The dates for that are...
That would be February 26th through the 28th of 2018.
And if you are an MCT but you can't make it, then feel free to reach out to any of us to if there's things that you want to have raised at an international level.
So you're going to be there, Kyle?
I sure am.
A lot of the people at this table will be there, and we may have something like this again.
Yeah, we're going to try and
see. And who's one of the main sponsors of the North American MCT Summit?
Same sponsor of this podcast.
LODS!
Learn on Demand Systems.
Everybody but Neil.
LODS!
He's a Canadian company, that's not really part of the international
community.
Fair enough. I don't think so.
Something changes. So thank you very much. So as always, if you have enjoyed the podcast, well then thank you for listening to another episode of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays. If you haven't, then this has been yet another episode of Patch and Switch.
Thanks, Brands Mom.
Thanks, Paul for Monster. Sorry, Tim.
First memories of Seattle hip hop. I remember the Sin Spin. Listen to Rap Attack. Listen to Nasty Jazz on Rap Attack. Silver Shadow D, B Mellow. That Do the Math just hit me in my dome. Poetry experience. That's where I really started writing. Was Rock Candy.